Why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 26. I'm just going to read one verse there this morning. We have started a series a couple weeks ago as we headed into the new year, simply entitled Dig. And this morning I want to continue that. And rather than go back and read the entire scripture that we opened up the series with from Genesis as well as from John chapter 4, if you're taking notes or you want to reference this later, just write those two passages down, Genesis chapter 26 and John chapter 4. Those are the two passages that we use to kind of kickstart the series entitled Dig, because both passages talk about wells. But this morning, I just want to review by reading one verse from Genesis chapter 26, verse 18. And it says this: Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given him, had given them. And so as we continue our quest to redig, or for some of us maybe dig for the first time, wells of spiritual nourishment, we need to continue to do three things. Number one, recognize the vital importance of fresh water. The fact is we all need fresh spiritual water to maintain our spiritual lives, to maintain our growth. And we need to recognize that need for fresh water can't be supplied because we had a drink yesterday. We're never going to live off of yesterday's water. We need a fresh supply. So we need open wells to get that fresh supply from. We also need to continue to appreciate the proven validity of old wells, as this passage in Genesis reminds us that what Abraham had provided was still important for Isaac, and so he took the time to redig them, and he kept the names that his father had given them. We said that as we do that, we must be aware of two threats that may prevent us from drawing fresh spiritual water from those old wells. Number one is wells that have been stopped up and rendered ineffective by the enemy. The enemy knows the importance of these old wells and seeks to keep us from benefiting from their nourishing supply. Also, we said there is an enemy of spiritual practices that have been neglected or been forgotten or never passed on to the next generation. And sometimes these old wells just have never been understood by new generations. And so we're not drawing fresh spiritual water from those wells. So we must appreciate the proven validity of old wells while understanding that there are enemies that would try to stop up those old wells. As valid as they are, the enemy will come in and stop up those wells. And then number three, we must realize as we continue this quest that there is a required necessity of work, that maintaining open wells takes work, and that drawing water from those wells takes work. So I also want to remind you that we said that the means of getting the water, the bucket, is not near as important as the well itself. There's lots of ways to draw water from these wells. The important thing are, do we have open wells from which to lower our bucket in? In other words, the method. There's lots of different methods. Last week we talked about the Word of God. There's lots of different ways to get water from the Word of God. The important thing is, are we drawing water from these wells? This morning, I want us to take a look at a very deep and powerful well, a very deep and powerful well. And it is the well of prayer and intimacy with God. The well of prayer and intimacy with God. As we talk about redigging or digging this well, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6. And this is going to be our key text for today. Matthew chapter 6, a place where Jesus gave us great instruction on how to dig this well. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. I mean, where else should we go except to the place where Jesus taught us how to pray? Verse 9 says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, these aren't just words to repeat. Beautiful words, and we love to sing them, we love to pray them, but they're not just words to repeat, but they are a pattern that teaches us how we should pray. It's a pattern that teaches us how to dig this spiritual well of prayer from which we will receive nourishment. So let us be like the disciple who, after he observed Jesus praying one night, went to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. I don't think it was just the words that the disciple wanted Jesus to teach him. He was saying, I've been looking at you. I've been watching you. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. This disciple was hungry to know how to dig the well that Jesus was drawing from. I think he saw that Jesus had a powerful prayer life and that he was being sustained by that prayer life, that there was something special about it, that there was something nourishing about it. And so he went to Jesus and he said, I want to drink water from the same well that you're drinking from. Teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. Teach us. Lord, how do you have that kind of prayer life? What do we need to do to have the nourishment that comes from the well of prayer and intimacy with God? So I want to talk to you this morning about digging the well of prayer, or redigging the well of prayer. Our digging begins as we come to believe that we have a Father in heaven who talks to us and wants us to talk to him. We have a Father in heaven who talks to us and wants us to talk to him. Did I not put that one in there, Judy? I put that really quick this morning. We have a Father in heaven who talks to us and wants us to talk to him. You see, Jesus began in his response to this disciple. He said, pray then in this way. Here's how you dig it. Our Father who is in heaven. I still love the King James, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But Jesus said it begins with this belief that you have a Father who is in heaven. Now, last week we talked about different ways to study and memorize the Word of God. And one of the things I said is take a passage of Scripture and just kind of pause at different parts in that verse to emphasize words in it, to glean more from it. And the Lord's Prayer is one of those that you really can do this with. And that first line, I've spent all week just thinking about that first line, and I stop at different places. First of all, it says, our, all right? And this reminds me how he is all of our fathers. Every one of us has a dad in heaven. Amen? A real person. A father, it says. Now, I get it. Every time we throw out the term father, there are mixed emotions and people respond differently because not all of us had great earthly dads, right? Some of us had very bad experiences. But don't take your earthly father and say that's what my heavenly father is at. Some of you had very wonderful dads, perfect examples of the Father in heaven. And as perfect, let me tell you something though, as perfect as they are, they never match up to our Father in heaven. But we have a Father. We have a Father. Fathers are good things to have. They provide, they love, they take care of, they defend. Our Father, who art in heaven, our Father, who art or who is, he's there right now. There is a heaven. There's a real God. There's a real heaven. So we have a real person that we can go to in prayer. You see, if we don't come to believe that we have a Father in heaven who talks to us and wants us to talk to him, then we're not going to get any deeper into this well of prayer. It's not going to mean anything to us. We're not going to get any nourishment out of us if we don't truly believe that God is there. That he is, and he's in heaven, and Jesus said, you can pray to him. You can talk to him. You know, there are so many religions in the world that have this deity at the top of the pyramid, but that deity is unapproachable. There's no way to truly get to them. You know, you can try some things and you hope that you appease them, but Jesus said that we have a Father in heaven, and he said that in response to how do we pray? We pray by speaking to this Father that is real, who exists, and right now he's in heaven and he's listening. And not only is he listening, but he talks. He talks back. I know some people think we Christians are crazy to say that we believe that we can hear the voice of God. And I realize that we're not always going to hear an audible voice of God, but we can always hear the voice of God. Does that make sense? Because God is a God who loves us and desires to communicate with us. And that's where we've got to begin digging this well. Do I really believe that I have a Father in heaven who talks to us and who wants us to talk to him? Charles Spurgeon said, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. Matthew chapter 7, just one chapter over from where we're reading today, in verse 11 it says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, Jesus wanted us to know that we have a Father in heaven and that he does respond. He talks to us. Jesus said, you have earthly fathers and they do good things for you. You have a heavenly Father. You think that he's not going to respond to you if you ask him for something, if you talk to him? Absolutely he does. And we need to know that. Again, Charles Spurgeon said, if you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear you. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe he will hear you. But if you believe he will be as good as your faith. So do you see where we start this well? We start it by faith that we have a Father in heaven who talks to us and who wants us to talk to him. If we can't believe that, then you're never going to get anything out of prayer. I'm being serious with you this morning. You know, we go through all these actions and all these formulas and all these attempts to get people to pray, but I think a lot of it is that we need to go back to the foundation of the beginning of digging this well and teach people the fact that there truly is a God who speaks and who wants you to speak to him. He's a real living God. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. And you're probably coming up empty and dry and hopeless. Our Father, who is, who art in heaven, you're there. You're there. And because you're there, I believe you have something to say to me. And I also believe that you will listen to what I want to say to you. Can you believe that this morning, church? Can you just grab a hold of that and believe that with all of your heart, that God indeed wants to tell you things? And he does indeed want you to talk to him. Sometimes I think we miss the importance of this because, you know, we emphasize that God is all-knowing, and he is all-knowing. God knows my heart, and he does know your heart. God knows my thoughts. Yes, he does know your thoughts. And sometimes I think we forget that we should communicate those thoughts, feelings with God. God knows all that, but he still wants to hear from you. That's what prayer is. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear you vocalize it. Yes, he knows it, but he wants to hear you. That's why John said in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, listen to what John says, he hears us. He hears us. So, we have a Father in heaven who talks to us and wants to us to talk to him. Well, let's keep digging this well out. How do we dig this well of prayer and intimacy with God so that we can receive spiritual nourishment for our souls from it? The next thing that we need to do is make our prayer time holy. We need to make our prayer time holy. So, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, what's the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father who is in heaven, what's the next part? Hallowed be thy name, or holy be thy name. Now, the word hallowed, which is a Greek word, hagiato, which is the Septuagint word for the Kadash, a Hebrew word, it means holy, sanctified, set apart, or rendered for fit for spiritual service. Now, again, we apply this word, and when we hear Jesus say that, what is he saying about prayer when he says, hallowed be your name? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, of course we understand, and we know and we believe that God is holy, but what is he teaching us about prayer? How do we make our prayer time holy? Well, back up just a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus has already taught about this. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, let's bring that back down to hallowed be your name. What are we doing by making our prayer time holy? We are setting it apart. The word holy at its root simply means to be set apart, to be uninfluenced by anything that is evil, to be uninfluenced by anything that is impure, but to set it apart and dedicate it unto God. That's what the word sanctification, to be dedicated to be set apart from the world, but to be dedicated unto God. We need to, if you want nourishment from your prayer time, we need to learn to set it apart. You understand what I'm saying today? It needs to become a holy time. A time that is dedicated to God. A time that is dedicated to speaking to God and to hearing from God. We can't take this prayer time and try to multitask with other things. So that's what we love to do in this world. We love to multitask and get more done. But I'm telling you, if you want true nourishment, if you want to dig that well deep when it comes to prayer, learn to set it apart. Make it holy. Reverence the fact that this is communication with a holy God. Do you think a holy God really wants to share you with anything else? This isn't prayer while I'm watching television. This isn't prayer while I'm scrolling through Facebook. Pray and read the newspaper. Set it apart. Make it holy. Yes, there is corporate prayer, and that's a part of this well too, but today I want to specifically focus on our individual prayer lives. And if we're going to glean anything, it needs to be set apart. Even when we come together in corporate prayer on our Friday night prayer meetings, we spend the first half of that as individuals before the throne of God. Then we come together and we agree in prayer and we share what God has been speaking to our individual hearts. Prayer needs to be a holy thing. It needs to be a set apart thing. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you can't have worship music on. I love having worship music on when I pray. But it's not so that I can be distracted for my prayer. Actually, it's to surround me and keep me set apart and make that time even more holy in the presence of God. To try to wash away the noise of the world and the distractions that would come about. Anybody, and there are times to do this, which times are really beneficial. Anybody ever tried praying in a completely silent room? All of a sudden, you hear the tick of the clock. Right? You hear the ants crawling, you know. The termites chewing. Prayer needs to be holy. It needs to be set apart. And that's why I believe Jesus said, "Hallowed be thy name." You're coming into the throne room of God and he is your Father. But make it about that. Make it about God and about your relationship with God. And keep everything else out of it. Number three, talk to him. Just talk to him. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who," what? What's the last part? "Give good gifts to those who ask him." So you got to talk to God. I mean, again, back to this idea that, well, God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows, the beginning from the end. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. But why would Jesus tell us to ask then? In fact, the Word of God says that he knows what you need even before you ask it. Isn't that what the Word says? So God already knows what you need. And again, I think sometimes we default to the fact, God knows that I need it, so why bother him? Why talk about it? Because he wants you to. And prayer is talking to God. You say, I don't like to talk. Well, then don't talk to anybody else, but learn to talk to God. I know that you can pray silently, but I think you should pray audibly as well. Because we don't communicate with one another via silence. And I'm really glad that we don't. I'm really glad you can't read my mind all the time. How many of you glad other people can't read your mind? Yeah. Okay, everybody raised your hand. We're going to stop the service. Get up here at the altar and let's repent right now. What have you guys been thinking anyway? No, we don't communicate via mind, you know, thought processes back and forth. We talk to each other. Something that I continue to try to get my youngest son to understand. I don't know what's in your head, son. You have to talk to me. And I know it's painful for some of his generation to talk, at least to their parents. Now, we're talking about talking to our heavenly parent. And it's painful for some people to even talk to their heavenly father. But you got to talk. You got to tell him. Tell him what's in your heart. Tell him what's in your mind. Talk to him. Joyce Meyer said, prayer is simply talking to God like a friend, and it should be the easiest thing we do each day. Tell him how you feel. Tell him when you're hurting. Tell him that you're confused. Tell him that you're scared, you're angry, you're frustrated, you're depressed, you're ready to give up. Tell him that you're grateful. Tell him that you're thankful, joyful, full of praise. Tell him that you need wisdom. Tell him that you need direction, provision, forgiveness, but you gotta talk to him. And that's where the nourishment comes from this well, as we believe that we have a Heavenly Father who talks to us and wants us to talk to him, as we make sure that our prayer time is set apart, that it is holy, we've got to talk. Maybe that's why Jesus said, go into a closet, so people don't think you're crazy. By the way, if you ever come by the church office and Dana's talking to herself, it's okay. She just, at least she communicates. We tease, because I come out of my office sometimes and say, what was she saying? She says, I'm talking to myself. She's talking through problems. You can do that with God. Just talk to him. Right? Talk to him. He's there. He's listening. He's real. And he'll listen to everything that you have to say. Say, but am I somehow making it less holy if I, you know, tell him some of the stuff that's really in my heart? See, that's where the point comes in that he already knows what's there. But he wants you to vocalize it. Did you know a lot of our problems, a lot of our anxiety, a lot of our fears would go away if we just talked to God about it? People need other people to listen to them. We have a God who listens. And it feels good to unload our burdens upon the Lord. And know that he understands. So he couldn't possibly understand. He's God. He doesn't get it. Oh, but he sent his son to become one of us. so that he would understand in every way in which we are tempted and every burden that we must carry. He understands. Talk to him. Number four, quiet yourself so that you can listen to what God wants to say. That's different than setting yourself apart, making prayer set apart. I'm talking about quieting yourself. Mother Teresa said, God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts. You see, the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've got to quiet ourselves so that we can listen to what our Father wants to speak to us. How are we going to figure out what your kingdom come, your will be done? How else are we going to figure out what his kingdom is all about and what his will is if we don't take time to listen? That's the whole point of getting into prayer, is so that you will have a deeper understanding of what his kingdom is and what he wants you to do. You've got to listen. But in order to listen, you have to quiet yourself. That's why Psalm 46:10 says, Be still and know that I am God. I love these. I finally went back and was able to find them. Read about it in college, and I've quoted it often, probably misquoted it several times. But Soren Kierkegaard writes these words. He said, A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized prayer is listening. He says about his own prayer life, as my prayer became more attentive and inward, I had less and less to say. Now again, I think we should begin by talking to God, but then quiet ourselves. Once we've talked to him, once we've poured out our hearts, quiet ourselves and begin to listen. He says, I found that I had less and less to say. I finally became completely silent. This is how it is. To pray does not mean to listen to oneself speaking. Prayer involves becoming silent and being silent and waiting until God is heard. And then he says this, prayer is a silent surrendering of everything to God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I surrender. Here's how I felt about it, God. In fact, here's how I feel about it right now, Lord. But now I surrender myself in silence so that I can hear what you have to say about it. Your kingdom come. It's not about our kingdom, and it's not about what we want to happen. It's about his kingdom. And it's about what he wants to do in us and through us. We've got to get that straight if we're going to draw water from this well. I'm running out of time. Give me just a few more minutes here. There's a Jewish prayer. In fact, it's the center of Jewish life, Jewish prayer life. And it's called the Amidah. The Amidah is traditionally, everybody does a little bit, traditionally it's recited silently three times a day while standing still. Now, I know it's hard to find a Jewish person who stands still when they're praying. But traditionally, the idea, and here's why. Because the stance of this prayer is rooted in the Bible, which records that the patriarch Abraham in Genesis chapter 19 went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And so out of that verse comes this idea. Now, Abraham had been talking to the Lord the day before, right? Talking to the Lord about, anybody remember? Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had been interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. But then it says that he went and he stood in the place where he had stood in the presence. And the idea, in fact, the word amada has to do with standing or standing still. And so what comes out of this idea of this prayer that is praying silently and standing still is that it's contrasted with moving. In fact, that word amad can be translated being still. And so the idea is that the first aspect, first dimension of prayer is to become still. As the mind can continue racing even when the body has become still, it's helpful to bring attention to the stillness of the body. So as we think about the stillness of the body, we're also able to think about the stillness of our minds. So I looked at this prayer even deeper, and the central part of this Amida consists of 13 blessings. And each of them have a particular quality. I'm not going to try to say the Hebrew correctly in each instance this morning, but listen for just a moment. Honen Hadat. It's the blessing of the God who favors us with knowledge. So in prayer, God's going to give you knowledge. Haratza Betshuva, who longs for repentance. This is all a part of the prayer. Hamaraba Lisloach, who is ever willing to forgive. Goel Yisrael, Redeemer of Israel. Roe Hole Ama Yisrael, who heals his people Israel. Aren't you glad he's a God who heals us? And this, wouldn't this be a powerful part of our prayer lives to draw water from these blessings? Three times a day, these prayers are said. Mevarech HaShanim, who blesses the years. Machbetz Nichdai Ama Yisrael, who gathers together the dispersed of his people Israel. God is always putting the pieces back together for us. Oev Tzedakah Umashvat, who loves righteousness and judgment. Shover Ovim Umachiana Zadiyah, who breaks enemies and humbles the arrogant. There's that protection aspect of prayer in God. Mishan Umavtak Vatzadikim, who supports and trusts the righteous. Bona Yeshralem, or Yerushalem, who builds Jerusalem. Matzamiach Karim Yeshua, who flourishes the glory of salvation, and Shomia Tefillah, who hears prayer. See, the last blessing in that reminds us that God hears prayer. So let's be still. Let's listen. All right, real quickly here. Daily bread. Daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're digging this well of prayer. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. 1 Chronicles 16:11 simply says this, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. How do we dig this well of prayer? We got to understand it's a daily thing. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And we always focus on, oh, provision, provision, provision. And that's a part of what prayer does. We ask for provision from God. But I think there's more an understanding there and a picture of the fact that every day we should be communicating with God. Because every day that we communicate with God, we get fed. Every day we don't communicate with God, we don't get fed. Next one. Forgiveness keeps the well open. Give us this day our daily bread. And what did Jesus say? And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven are debtors, right? So forgiveness keeps this well. We talked about enemies that fill up the well. Let me tell you, the answer is, number one, your well of prayer is unforgiveness. Now, I'm not just talking, I'm talking in two senses. Number one, your own forgiveness between you and God. We need to keep the well open by seeking the forgiveness of the Lord. Every day that we come to Him in prayer. Now, we've already been to a Father who loves us. We've already said, here's how I feel. We're already taking time to listen to what God has to say to Him. We're doing this every day. But if we're not careful with forgiveness, then the well is going to dry up. The well is going to be filled in, and we're not going to get anything from it. So Jesus said we begin by asking God to forgive us our sins. And I don't know about you, but the longer I go, the harder it is for me to go to the throne of God and say, God, forgive me, I am a sinner, without the Holy Spirit saying, I love to do that, I delight to do that, but have you forgiven others? Why are we so adept at asking God for what we will not give? God says, you want this well open? Let me cleanse your heart every day. And every day, cleanse your heart with others. Billy Graham said the Christian life is not a constant high. He said, I have moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me. Help me. And so we go saying that. Especially when we begin to hear, listen to the voice of God, and God saying, here's my kingdom, here's my will. Again, I don't know about you, but when I start hearing God respond to my prayers, many times it comes with a conviction of heart saying, oh, there's some things I need to ask you to forgive me of, Lord, so that I can do what you've asked me to do. Mark 11:25 says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Now, let's listen to this again. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who is also who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Does that sound similar to the words that Jesus just spoke in Matthew chapter 6? Your Father who is in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, whenever you pray, forgive. And Psalm 66:18 reminds us, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. See, we need to be forgiven and we need to forgive so that that well of prayer stands open. Last one. Gentlemen, would you please get ready to share communion with us today? Last one is simply this. Follow His leading. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those, or we forgive our debtors. And then He says these words, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this aspect of digging the well of prayer that nourishes our souls is simply this. We must follow His leading. If you've ever thought about those words, and lead us not into temptation, God would never lead us into temptation. No. So why is that a part of our prayer life? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What He's saying is that we have to follow His leading. He's leading, and He has promised to lead us away from temptation, but you have to follow.
God is leading, but he is not behind you pushing you in the direction that you need to go. He's in front of you, calling you and leading you. And prayer becomes nourishing and powerful as we follow. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're not going to walk into temptation if we follow. We will be delivered from evil. Why? I believe what Jesus is saying here is, look, because there is no other way to go. Because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power and yours is the glory forever. There is no other way to go except your way, God. If we want to be blessed, if we want to be nourished, then we need to follow his leading. Lisa Turker said, the reality is my prayers don't change God, but I am convinced prayer changes me. And see, that's what it's all about. The prayer life that we dig and that we prepare, it's not manipulating and changing God. It's changing us so that we follow his leading and we don't end up in temptation. We follow his leading and we are delivered from evil. We follow his leading and we can say with Jesus that his is the power. His is the kingdom. His is the glory forever. How beautiful it is to follow his leading. Soren Kierkegaard said the same thing. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. That's what's being changed. Do you remember the cloud in the desert? The pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Nehemiah 9:12, recalling that situation, says, by a pillar of cloud you led them in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night, to light for them the way in which they should go. I believe Jesus is saying that as we dig that well of prayer, teach us how to pray, Lord. He did. As we dig that well of prayer, then just like the Father of the Israelites led them in the desert by day and by night, so too our Father who art in heaven will lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Men come. Judy.
Together, Father in heaven. Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will.
Hallelujah.
And
Father, we thank you today as we celebrate the supper that you took with your disciples.
Amen.
The supper that you said should be done in remembrance of you. For as oft as we do it, you said we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you for being a Father in heaven who speaks to us and wants us to speak to him. Thank you that we have this wonderful gift of prayer and communication and intimacy with God. So, Lord, we pray that you would open up that wells deep for us today, and may they stay open as we come into your presence every day, as we listen to your voice, as we talk to you about what is on our spirits, and as you lead us in the way in which we should go. Thank you for giving your body for us. You know, Jesus Christ set the example of the fact that prayer doesn't manipulate God, but prayer changes us. When he prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." I'm thankful that we have a God whose will it was to send his son Jesus to be broken for us so that we could be put back together. Lord, we recognize and honor your brokenness in this bread that we take today. We eat it in remembrance of you. Let's take the bread. And Father, we know that in our own strength it would be impossible to keep this well of prayer and intimacy with you open were it not for the covenant that Jesus made in his blood. You see, this is the cup of redemption, the cup of forgiveness, the cup that brings us in right standing with God, the cup that keeps the well open, so that every day we can go before the throne of God boldly, the word says, because we've received his forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we take the cup, we receive the forgiveness of our sins, all of our sins, as we confess them before you, as we repent, and as we purpose in our hearts to turn away from them and follow you, we receive the gift you gave us. Let's take it together. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Lord, may your blessings be upon us in every way. May you lead us and guide us. May you hear our prayers. May you forgive our sins. And Lord, may we hear your voice in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. I know it's late. Board members, if I